السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we return for lesson 2, day 2 for our MQDQ 2017 program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all with the best of health, energy and iman. Both listeners online and here, welcome back. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. As we start just 2, we have a change in direction, inshallah. So without further ado, and our du'as, we will start. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My Lord, expand for me my breast and make my work easy for me. Loosen the knot from my tongue so that they may understand my speech. Rabbi zidna ilma. O my Lord, increase us in knowledge. Allahumma faqihna fi al-deen. O Allah, give.
Allahumma inni as'aluka ilma nafi'a wa amala mutaqabbala wa rizqan tayyiba. O Allah, indeed I ask you for beneficial knowledge and acceptable deeds and pure provision. Ameen. We will now start just 2, inshallah. From Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 1, 4, 2. I ask for Allah's protection from Shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most kind and most merciful. The fools among the people, pagans, hypocrites and Jews, will say, what has turned them, Muslims, from their Qibla, prayer direction towards Jerusalem, to which they used to face in prayer. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Allah belong both east and west. He guides whom he will to the straight way. Thus we have made you true Muslims, real followers, real believers of Islam, true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah, a just and best nation, that you be witnesses over mankind, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam be a witness over you. And we made the Qibla, prayer direction towards Jerusalem, which you used to face, only to test those who followed the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from those who would turn on their heels, meaning to disobey the Messenger. Indeed, it was great, heavy, except for those whom Allah guided. And Allah would never make your faith, your prayers be lost. Your prayers that you offered before would not be lost. Truly, Allah is full of kindness and most merciful towards mankind. Verse 144, verily, we have seen the turning of your face, referring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the heaven. Surely we shall turn you to a Qibla, prayer direction that shall please you. So turn your face in the direction of Al-Masjid Al-Haram at Makkah. And wheresoever your people are, turn your faces in prayer in that direction. Certainly the people who were given the scripture, i.e. the Jews and the Christians, know well that your turning towards the direction of the Qibla at Makkah in prayers is the truth from their Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what they do. That brings us to the end of 3 wonderful ayahs. A change in direction for prayer from Aqsa to, from Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, to Masjid al-Haram at Makkah. Prior to arriving in Medina, in reference to our seerah program, 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would face the side of the Khana Kaaba between the corner of Yemen and the Black Stone, where it would be such that he was facing the Khana Kaaba and Masjid al-Aqsa at one time. So it wasn't a great deal of difference there. It didn't matter what his focus was. However, in Medina, it was a different story. Medina geographically, situated such that Aqsa was north, so it was not possible to do the same. Now in Medina, this was not possible. It was either Aqsa or Makkah. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these wonderful ayahs. And without any further qualms, any hiccups, any ifs or buts, the companions changed direction as soon as the ayahs were revealed, to the fact that they were actually in prayer at the Masjid al-Qiblatayn, and they all turned a complete 180 degrees in the opposite direction, to change direction towards the Khana Kaaba at Mecca. Subhanallah. This was not just to signify the direction for the five prayers, but this was to signify that for a moment the Qibla is like a compass. The needle flickers towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like a compass needle always goes to north, a mu'min always looks what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of that person. This gives us an opportunity to reflect on our own Qiblas. We argue about Qibla, the actual direction at the slightest of angles. But on major angles we forget, in work, business, etiquettes, marriages. How do we live our daily lives? Are we living our lives in the direction Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed us to do so? Food for thought. Continuing on from verse 1:4-5. And even if you were to bring to the people of the scripture all the ayah, all the revelations, they would not follow your Qibla, nor are you going to follow their Qibla, and they will not follow each other's Qibla. Verily, if you follow their desires after that which you have received of knowledge, then indeed you will be one of the wrongdoers. Does that mean? Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that now that you have the Quran in front of you, now that you're reading and reciting the ayahs of the Quran, then don't slip back. Don't follow your desires, because then what is the result? Then what is the result? Before we didn't know, but now that you know, and that's what a lot of us find hard, is to know and then behave. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the result of those who don't. What is it? Then you are of the wrongdoers. Those to whom we gave the scripture recognize him. Who's him here? Who's he, him? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Jews and Christians recognize him, or the Kaaba at Mecca, as they recognize their sons. But verily a party of them conceal the truth while they know it. The qualities of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are written in the Torah and the Injil. So they knew this was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember Waraka ibn Nawfal, the cousin of Lady Khadija, recognized the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were so many people from the previous scriptures that had recognized the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being the Prophet, because they had the signs in their books, but they were not willing to admit or accept. Here I remember a short, quick story of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, who was a Christian. For homework, you can get me the name. You tell me the name, if anybody knows, we'll get a prize. The Christian wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My sister, Lady Maria. It was. Well done, Sister Razia. Good. Mashallah. And she said that she remembered as a child in her home, she would hear her uncle and her father discuss the fact that, yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a true prophet. As we carry on, this is the truth from your Lord, so be you not one of those who doubt. For every nation there's a direction to which they face, so hasten towards all that is good, wheresoever you may be. Allah will bring you together on the day of resurrection. Truly Allah is able to do all things. And from wheresoever you start forth for prayers, turn your face in the direction of Masjid al-Haram. That is indeed the truth from your Lord. And then that's why Allah Ta'ala is not unaware of what you do. How many times already have we seen this end part? That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is not unaware of what you do. So any one of us who feels they can switch off and hide in their beds or in their homes and do what they like. Midnight, everyone's gone to sleep, I can surf on the net what I feel like and can play with social media as I want. Just remember, Allah is not unaware. When you pick up that phone next time and you want to have a little chit-chat, just remember, Allah is not unaware. Not unaware, in other languages, in other terms, is what? Allah is
all aware. And from wheresoever you start forth your prayers, to turn your face in the direction of Masjid al-Haram. And wheresoever you are, turn your faces towards it when you pray, so that men may have no argument against you except those of them that are wrongdoers. So fear them not, fear me, but fear me. So any time you're afraid of what will people say, what will Jane and Helen say to me at work if I start praying, remember this. Don't be afraid. And what a beautiful way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has united us all. That wherever we are centered towards, we are all turning towards Qibla. Haramain. Subhanallah. Highlight this part, so fear them not, but fear me. So that I may complete my blessings on you, and that you may be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting this in, that if we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are guided, okay? But when we fear people and forget to do our salah, or we are too scared to do our salah, that is not being guided, is it? Is it? No. Similarly, to complete my blessings on you, we have sent among you a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have sent among you as a blessing, subhanallah, of your own, reciting to you our verses, the Quran, and purifying you and teaching you the book, the Quran and hikmah, and teaching you that which you used not to know, subhanallah. Sisters, do we take this as a blessing? Do we consider the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have brought us all these things as a blessing, or do we find it a burden to keep a beard for our young men? Do we find it difficult to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Come weddings, come death, our daily activities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us similarly, we have sent among you a messenger. And these are four things that He gave us, He taught us, recited the ayahs, purified us, taught us hikmah, and teaching us something that we didn't know. Therefore, remember me, subhanallah, saying, by praying and glorifying, I will remember you. I will remember you and be grateful to me for my countless favors on you, and never be ungrateful to me. Subhanallah. Verse 152, one of my favorites again. If you highlight, please. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Fadhkuruni azkurkum. Washkuru li wa la takfurun. Therefore, remember me by praying, I will remember you and be grateful to me and never be ungrateful to me. Subhanallah. Always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never consider any good deed as trivial. Grip good deeds, good opportunities and be thankful. Sisters, when we're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the beauty of that? That the blessing is increased. Exactly. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. So everybody, can I have it from the bottom of your hearts, please? Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. Now we see, as we start this part, from verse 152 onwards, we're going to look at the ingredients required to be the best of nations. In verse 143, we hear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we are the best of nations. Just for a second of pause and reflection, do you really feel that we as Muslims are the best of nations today? We're not, are we? Which is a very sad thing. And why do you think that is the case? Why are we not the best of nations? Because we're not following the way that was given to us, neither the Sunnah nor the Quran. We left it aside, we just pick and choose. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the ingredients required
to be the Ummah al-Wasata. 153, and it's a message for all of us. Soon as we hear this, when we are students of the Quran, soon as we hear Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, it's a warning bell. Oh, you who believe. Warning to all of us. Wake up. Come on. Oh, you who believe. Seek help in patience and a salah. Truly, Allah is with the patient, the sabirin. Sisters, seek help in patience and a salah. So what's salah? Prayer. Okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. سبحان الله. Question arises, am I patient? Do I seek help in patience and salah? When I'm in trouble, do I go and do my wudu and stand for prayer, or do I carry on disputing? Do I carry on arguing? Do I carry on fretting or being anxious? Nastaeenu bisabr. Wonderful. Highlight this in Arabic and in English. You need help, Allah Ta'ala is giving you the remedy. Hands up if you ever need help. Hands up if you've needed help from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in the last three days. Giving us this. It's not difficult, is it? Somebody's about to argue with you. You don't know, you can't make a decision what to do. Seek help in patience and salah. You're about to say something that can cause a major disaster. Shut up. Go and do wudu and go and do salah. Two rakah. We continue with verse 154 and say not of those who are killed in the way of Allah, they are dead. Nay, they are living, but you perceive it not. Subhanallah. We will see this in detail, inshallah, in you tell me, Surah Ali Imran, inshallah. Okay. And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits, but give glad tidings to the patient. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. Will test us. But what do? We are patient. Topic for these ayahs, I will say, is PIA. I think majority of us have the Pakistani origins. Is that right? And what does PIA stand for? Please inform Allah. Please inform Allah of your problems. Talk to Him, not the world, and do sabr. This is what we've been taught. Yes, you'll have troubles, you'll have fear, you'll be hungry, you'll be in desperate need of wealth, but give glad tidings to the patient. See how it all follows on? Subhanallah. And then what do they say? Who, when afflicted, who's this referring to? The patient ones. Give glad tidings to the sabirin, who, when afflicted, it's carrying on, okay? It's referring to the patient Muslims, not everybody, who, when afflicted with calamity, what do they say? 156, can we read it together, please, everybody? What do they say? Qalu inna. I can't hear you. Qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What do they say? Truly, when afflicted with calamity, say truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. We often say this, but do we truly mean it? Because if we say, we realize that we belong to Allah, then we wouldn't have a choice of our own. Because when you belong to some institute, some job, some
company. You don't disobey the rules. You abide by their rulings and regulations, don't you? Being a citizen of the UK, we abide by the regulations, don't we? Then, why do we not abide by the regulations of Allah? Because we say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and it's become like a lip service. We type it in when we hear of a death. There's so many now pretty photographs. It makes you think, subhanAllah, the messages keep coming, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But truly, we're not reflecting. Because if we realize that, yes, to my return is to my Lord, then my behavior would be one that would be pleasing my Lord. You follow? There's a short sharing I'd like to do with you as a follow-on from this dua. As a follow-on from saying this when we hear... When do you say this? In fact, I'll ask this question. Hand up if you'd like to tell me when do you use this part of the ayah. Truly, when do you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Mostly when you hear somebody's died, okay? Sister Mbori? If you lose anything, you'll say it, okay? So hands up if you say it when you hear of somebody's death and that's the only time you say it. Hand up. Right. If you lose anything, if you've misplaced anything, if you find there's going to be something upsetting, somebody's not well, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I surrender, my Lord. I know it belongs to you, my return is to you. I surrender, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And sometimes you're only on inna lillah, and the lost object becomes visible, subhanallah. Sisters, I'd like to share with you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember we are doing seerah, and he would share these things constantly with his companions, who would then go back and share with their families. On one occasion, Abu Salma, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that after this dua you can read a short dua saying, Allahumma ajinni fi musibati wa akhlifli khayrun minha. That Ya Rabbi, give me better than this loss, okay? He shared this dua with who? I'll give you a tweet if you can tell me who. He went home and shared it with his wife, Umm Salma. Excellent. Short time passed by, and the companion, Abu Salma, passed away. He died. His wife remembered the dua that had been taught to her husband by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then in turn he'd come home and taught it to her. So she recited, Allahumma ajinni fi musibati wa akhlifli khayrun minha. She recited it with yaqeen, she recited it again and again, repeatedly. But Umm Salma said, I have this feeling that I kept thinking in my head that how can I get somebody better than the Prophet? Better than Abu Salma, because he was such a nice, dear, caring, loving husband. But she said she didn't give up. She carried on doing the dua. Who knows the story? Who knows the rest of it? Alhamdulillah. She carried on with the dua. It lapses. And she sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at her door with a proposal. And what was the response? Did she say, oh good, fantastic? Her response is, I am old, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am old too. She then said, I have kids. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, but your kids can be my kids. She said, but then there's another problem as well. That's something that we don't always like to admit. I get cross, she admitted. I get cross. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Okay, I'll do dua that you cool down. But it was the yaqeen that Umm Salma was reading the dua with. We ask others to do our duas, we ask anybody and everybody, but we don't do it with yaqeen ourselves. And how can you have yaqeen is to have the rapport, have the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Do du'as with yaqeen, with affirmity, confidence that Ya Rab, you're the only one who's going to hear me. Nobody else, because I'm not going to say it to anybody else. Why should I? I don't need to. I know you will fulfill my wishes, my dreams, my ambitions, everything. And only you can fulfill them, no one else can. Can they? If you go and give all your sad story and sob story to the friend down the road, she can't do anything. Except for she can do one thing, broadcast it for you. Sisters, this was a follow-on dua, absolutely beautiful, from the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Continuing on with verse 1, 5, 7. They are those on whom are the salawat, the blessings, who are blessed and will be forgiven from their Lord. And they are those who receive His mercy, and it is they who are the guided ones. So look at all these things, that when you are patient, when you keep remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in times of difficulty and pain, you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They are the guided ones. We all thought we were guided, but truly, were we guided if we don't know how to use these ayahs? Now we see, we've been told about sabr. Yes? Sabr and shukr is something that we just looked at in these few ayahs. Message for all of us would be that yes, difficulties will come. But what do? We seek help. And now we know how to seek help, don't we? We don't call 999. What do? To seek help? Salah, sabr, and shukr. Okay, be grateful. Don't be ungrateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will check us at different times to see how firm we are. Okay? Sabr is the best tool for success. Sabr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the sabr that's done in the first instance. Time heals wounds, but sabr immediately is a sabr of high quality. And there's two things which allow us to do this sabr, and they are knowing that the reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the sabireen. These two things help us get through to be smiley in all situations. Pain, grief, they don't fear, they don't grieve believers. Subhanallah. When they're upset, they'll do wudu and go and do salah. They're content with a little. They are patient. So as we close that for a short time, there's a bridge between being patient, and now the bridge is between the patient mother of her time. And we go on to the next verse, and you will see who we're referring to. Verily, As-Safa al-Marwa, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, her sabr, in a desert, not Mecca, but Bakka, the old name for Mecca, on her own with a baby. Heat, no water. Was she patient? Can I hear you? Was she patient? Verily, As-Safa al-Marwa, two mountains in Mecca, are of the symbols of Allah. So it is not a sin on him who performs Hajj or Umrah of the Hajj, of the house, to perform the going between the Safa and al-Marwa. And whoever does good voluntarily, then verily Allah is all recognizer, all knower. Verily, those who conceal the clear proofs, evidences and the guidance which we have sent down after we have made it clear for the people in the book, they are the ones cursed by Allah, Safarullah. They are the ones who are cursed by Allah, Safarullah, and cursed by the curses. Cursed by the curses. So again, referring to Sirah, we look at the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, namely Abu Huraira. May Allah be pleased with him. May Allah be pleased with him, who said that had he not read this ayah, had he not had this knowledge, it was this ayah that made him share his knowledge with others, and not to pick and choose when he shared his knowledge. Do you follow? This ayah prompted him that whatever knowledge he had, he would share it. Subhanallah. He wasn't one of those that he looked at the audience and thought, well, no, I can't tell them that. They might get cross. They might not come tomorrow. In fact, that was shared last night. The sister, when I told her we have a fine for our telephone call, she said, well, if we're scared if we do that, we might reduce our students. Which she liked it. Gave me a pat on the back, to be fair. But sisters, it's not right to be diluting deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that there will be the curse if they hide the clear proof. So Abu Huraira says that this would prompt him not to dilute any deen. What is disliked or desired by society, it is there in black and white. But if it's been done before, then what do we do? Then Allah Ta'ala gives us the solution in verse 160. Except those who repent. Except those who repent and do righteous deeds and openly declare the truth which they concealed. These I will accept their repentance. And I am the one who accepts repentance the most merciful. Verily, those who disbelieve and die while they are disbelievers, it is they on whom is the curse of Allah, and of the angels, and of mankind combined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that those who believe and do these things, but then turn to Allah and repent, Allah will accept our repentance, inshallah. Repent means to do what? Tawbah. And tawbah is the root for U-turn. U-turn meaning what? That you're going back. You're leaving your sin, you've made a mistake. Fine. But you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you realize you're going down the road and you've taken the wrong turning, do you carry on? No. What do you always do? You do a U-turn. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that do a U-turn. Continuing with verse 162. They will abide in it under the curse in hell. Their punishment will neither be lightened nor will they be reprieved. And your ilah, God, is one ilah. La ilaha illahu. There is none who has the right to be worshipped but He, the most gracious, the most merciful. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of night and day, and the ships which sail through the sea, with that which is of use to mankind, and the water, rain, which Allah sends down from the sky, makes the earth alive with it after its death, and the moving creatures of all kinds that He has scattered in it, and in the veering of winds, and clouds which are held between the sky and the earth are indeed ayah, meaning signs. Signs, proofs, for who? For everybody? For people of understanding. Subhanallah. The things are there for everybody, aren't they? The mushrik, the munafiq, the fasiqeen, the rebellious, and for the mu'min. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us clearly, they're there, but they're only signs for those who are people of understanding. Subhanallah. Verse 164 is special, significant, in that it is the ayah of signs. It's referred to Ayatul Ayn. It's an ayah of signs. And just taking back the angle of Seerah again. In the light of Seerah, verse 164 was sent as a strong message for those who'd been asking for miracles from the Prophet ﷺ. They'd been mithering the Prophet again and again and again for miracles. But for a set reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise, hadn't given the miracle up to this point, because in the past what had happened when they had miracles, whether they got a miracle or not, the ones who were not going to believe would still disbelieve. Follow? And whether they got a miracle or not, most of the time what they did was kill the prophets. And those who had miracles, they still killed the prophets. So they disrespected. And the other reason being that they would either then take those prophets as shirk rivals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, here, as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this reminder, with this verse, that only if you look around, you have the evidence all around you. The entire creation, if you observe it, is a great sign in itself. The clouds, the rain, the sea, everything. Why don't you look? Why don't you reflect? It's coordination, it's perfection, and it's orderly design are there. Only if you truly ponder, subhanAllah. Question arises, do I ponder upon Allah Ta'ala's universe, or am I too busy looking at the false materialistic wealth that surrounds me? Okay? Verse 165. And of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah as rivals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like us to take others as rivals. What's the word for this? Shirk. Exactly. It's a major crime. And again, we're going to be told that this is most disliked. And of mankind are some who take others besides Allah's rivals. They love them as they love Allah. Astaghfirullah. But those who believe love Allah more than anything else. So if you were going to make a love list, who would you put on top? Is it your shoes? Is it your wealth? Is it your homes? Is it your kids? Or is it your Rabb? And if it's your Rabb, then you put everything aside and come to the Quran class, wouldn't you? Then you're not bothered about the cleaning and the tidying and the... And subhanAllah, the beauty of it is when you do something for Allah Ta'ala, then everything else falls in place. Hands up if you can give witness to that. That when we come to Quran classes, everything else falls in place and it becomes easier. Hands up, student, regular students, please. We're all witnesses of that, aren't we? That we have a smoother, more manageable day when we've been in a Quran class for 3 hours. SubhanAllah. Sisters, Allah Ta'ala says, those who believe love Allah more than anything else. If only those who do wrong could see, when they will see the torment, that all power belongs to Allah and that Allah is severe in punishment. I have a hadith to share with you from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 6, hadith number 24. Narrated by Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said one statement and I said another. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever dies while still invoking anything other than Allah as a rival to Allah will enter hell. And I said, whoever dies without invoking anything as a rival to Allah will enter paradise. Die in true tawheed. True tawheed, sisters. If you've had any shirk, any rivals in the past, and these rivals could be sleeping, drinking, eating excessively, anything out of line, gossiping, chatting, and missing salah, can't be bothered, bone idleness, laziness, whatever. We never thought of these as rivals, to be fair, until we came to classes. For us in the past, what is a rival? Tell me quickly. What is a rival? Idols, exactly. A temple full of idols is rival, is shirk. Is it not true? We've all got shirks. It could be our desires. Anything that prevents us from the way of our weddings. They've become our rivals, haven't they? They are preventing us following the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and following the guidelines set to us by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Continuing on, verse 166. When those who have followed disown those who followed them and they see the torment, then all their relations will be cut off from them. All their relations will be cut off from them. And those who followed will say, if only we had one more chance to return to the worldly life, we would disown them as they have disowned us today. Disowned us. Thus Allah will show them their deeds as a regret for them, and they will never get out of the fire. Astaghfirullah. Allahumma ajinni minan nar. Verse 168, O mankind, eat of that which is lawful and good on the earth, and follow not follow not the footsteps of Shaitan. Verily, he is to you an open enemy. Can you highlight verse 168, please? If this is the biggest trick Shaitan has and does with us, he started with this in Jannah with Adam alayhi salam, and he's continuing with it with us, with our children, with our families, our environment, our society today. Oh, it's only a drop of alcohol in this drink. It's only a little bit of interest. Halal or haram? You eat halal, you become halal. You want to do things in way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You eat haram, the results are vivid all around us today. Aren't they? Give me some of the things that you are aware of that are haram, forbidden. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us clearly here, eat of that which is lawful and good on the earth, and follow not the footsteps of Shaitan. So what's forbidden? Alcohol, interest, riba, pork, meat from a pig. Okay, we'll look at the others in a bit. Sisters, question ourselves, what goes in me? Is it pure and halal? Because what you eat is what you are. Food-wise, there's four forbiddens, isn't there? Four forbiddens. We will see, inshallah. Verily, he is an open enemy to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couldn't have given that in a clearer statement, could he? Verily, or indeed, he is to you an open enemy. He, Shaitan, commands you only what is evil and sinful, and that you should say against Allah what you know not. What you know not. And when it is said to them, follow what Allah sent down, they say, nay, we shall follow what we found our fathers following. So when it comes to weddings and deaths, we say we're going to do what our cultures have told us. Look at the culture and the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not society. Because this is what they said, we shall follow what we found our fathers following. Would they do that? Even though their fathers didn't understand anything, and nor were they guided. And the example of those who disbelieve is that of him. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a parable. Okay? We had this word yesterday and you were a bit stuck. So here comes a parable of an example of how they are. And the example of those who disbelieve is that of him who shouts to those flock of sheep that hears nothing but calls and cries. They are deaf, dumb and blind, so they do not understand. O you who believe in the oneness of Allah, eat of the lawful things that we have provided you with, and be grateful to Allah. Again and again, be grateful. And be grateful to Allah if it is indeed He whom you worship. And here we have the four forbiddens in Islam. We have so many allowances. There's thousands of food that we can take in. We can eat and drink. But we're always looking at the footing about the things that we can't eat, subhanAllah. And there's only four. Is that a lot? Tell me, is it a lot? Loud and clear, please.
No.
He has forbidden you only the maitha. And blood, what's maitha? Dead animals. And blood and the flesh of swine. And anything that which is slaughtered as a sacrifice for others than Allah. Or has been slaughtered for idols on which Allah's name has not been mentioned while slaughtering. But if one is forced by necessity without willful disobedience, nor transgressing due limits, then there is no sin on him. Truly Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Again, we have that tiny bit of allowance, but I don't think any of us are in that dire need, are we? But if somebody is, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed it. Verily those who hide, who conceal what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down of the book and purchase a small gain with it, of worldly things, they eat into their bellies nothing but fire. Allah will not speak to them on the day of resurrection, nor purify them, and theirs will be a painful torment. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what will happen to those who disobey, who ignore, who hide what Allah has sent down. Those are they who have purchased error at the price of guidance and torment at the price of forgiveness. So how bold they are to the fire. That is because Allah has sent down the book, the Quran, in truth. And verily those who disputed as regards the book are far away in opposition. لَفِي شِكَاكٍ بَعِيدٍ They're far away, miles away from it. They're not guided. That's why they find it difficult. That's why they dispute. They dispute, don't they? And this is what happens, sadly. You'll hear discussions, meetings going on. Where does it say that? Where does it say that in the Quran? And you can ask them quite comfortably, have you ever read the Quran in a language that you understand? And what's the answer usually? Sadly, no. But they're happy to dispute. This takes us to verse 177, the ayah of Bir, ayah of piety. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, we all want to be pious, don't we? We love the word being pious. Hands up if you want to be pious. Alhamdulillah. Sisters, exactly. Nobody wants to be away from piety. So here, Allah is telling us what is piety, and in a nutshell, turn your hearts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Him at all times. Irrelevant which way you turn in your salah. Of course you'll turn in the right way if your heart is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in every way, in every walk of life, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's see this ayah. It is not al-bir, piety, that you turn your faces towards east and west, or west in prayers, but al-bir is the quality, the one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, the prophets, and gives his wealth in spite of love for it, to the kinsfolk, to the orphans, and to the masakeen, and to the wayfarer, and to those who ask. And to set place free, perform salah, and gives the zakah, and who fulfill their covenant when they make it, and who are patient in extreme poverty, and in disease, in ailment, and at the time of fighting during the battles, such are the people of the truth, and they are the muttaqeen. Subhanallah. Ayah Dulbir. If you highlight just the number 177, you just highlight that number and name it the ayah of piety. Piety is to remember each and every act of obedience is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Message from this ayah for all of us. Don't let this life slip away. Don't let this time just go away without obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which we don't want to regret on judgment day. No selective obeying anymore. Obeying means all orders. O-A-O. Now, from now on, it's O-A-O. Obey all orders. O you who believe, in verse 178 to 182, rules for taking a life now. If this has happened, how to deal with it? Surah Al-Baqarah is absolutely wonderful and beautiful in that it deals with each and everything to do with everyday life. Each and everything, every matter. Negative, positive, difficult. Topics that we often avoid and hide away from. Allah Ta'ala deals with them. Subhanallah. O you who believe, al-qisas, the law of equality in punishment, is prescribed for you in case of murder. Nobody wants to talk about murder, but look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing it. This is the law prescribed for you in case of murder. The free for the free, the slave for the slave, the female for the female. But if the killer is forgiven by the brother of the killed, against blood money, then adhering to it with fairness and payment of blood money to the heir should be made in fairness. This is an alleviation and a mercy from your Lord, so after this, whoever crosses transgresses the limits. He shall have a painful torment. And there is a saving of life for you in Al-Qisas, O man of understanding, that you may become the pious. You may become la alla kuntatakun. It is prescribed for you when death approaches any of you, if he leaves wealth, that he makes a bequest to parents and next of kin, according to reasonable manners. This is a duty upon the muttaqin. Again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us how to live your life with Allah awareness. Subhanallah. Then whoever changes the request after hearing it, the sin shall be on those who make the change. Truly Allah is all hearer, all knower. But he who fears from a testator some unjust act or wrongdoing, and thereupon he makes peace between the parties concerned, there shall be no sin on him. So again, flexibility. Certainly Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. That brings us to the end of the rules for taking a life. Leave a wasiyah, leave a will. How to distribute the wealth of the deceased. We looked at this in detail, didn't we, when we did the tafsir. There's recordings available if you're interested. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us how to live our lives with taqwa. Now, a popular topic once a year as Ramadan approaches. Ayahs that we often hear. So anybody who's never even covered the Quran will have heard these verses many, many times. We have the verses, the laws of fasting. O you who believe, observing a psalm is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become a muttaqin. So sisters, if Jane or Margaret asks us at work, why are you fasting? The answer is there in the Quran, isn't it? Yes, I am fasting just like fasting was prescribed to you before us. And in fact, we only have 30 fasts, but they had, Christians had how many? 40. And they were longer. Subhanallah. Sisters, don't shy away. No compromises. Come on. Don't be scared. We're only scared when... If I told you to bring me a banoffee pie tomorrow, who would be happy to bring it in? No, make it and bring it. Hands up if you would be scared to make one and bring it in. You're all scared, well, majority are scared except for two, mashallah. Sisters, the ones who are scared to make it and bring it in are scared because you don't know how to make it. And neither do I. So smile. But sisters, we can learn. And we're scared and we shy away from our deen and Islam because we don't know what it says in the Quran. That is the problem. We need to educate ourselves and then our young ones, our families, our children, our loved ones. Because look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, don't be afraid. Look, it was prescribed for you as it was prescribed. It's prescribed to you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you become a mustaqeen. Observing psalm for a fixed number of days. But if any of you is ill or on a journey, the same number should be made up from other days. And as for those who can fast with difficulty, aging old man, they have a choice either to fast or to feed a miskeen, a poor person every day. But whoever does good of his own accord, it is better for him. And that you fast is better for you if only you know. Subhanallah. Again, flexibility upon flexibility. Comfort upon comfort. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, look, you've got this option, you've got this option. You can do either. But the better option is to fast. Subhanallah. And then we come to the verses which tell us about our compulsory fasting, the month of Ramadan. As before we start that, as we're approaching, and this is our Ramadan program, we will take a break there, inshallah. Okay? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to reach this stage. Alhamdulillah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.